Hey, buddy, welcome back to another podcast. I got Cole.
I'm here.
My wingman
That's
here
right.
with me. And also, we have Trey Stubbs and Lisa Brandenburg from our care ministry here at the church, which is, I have to get something off my chest right away.
Yeah.
I have failed.
Why?
So I made it 7 days.
No.
And I went to Chick-fil-A this morning.
You caved.
I caved.
You get one a week though, right? I thought you said that.
Yeah.
It was supposed
on
to be Saturday.
Saturday if I go to all my workouts. But so I'm taking this challenge of eating healthy. I put away my pipe and cigars and all that, and I'm eating clean. And I had a tough day yesterday. Long day
long
recording
day. Yep.
And you know, and preaching the word of God.
Yep.
And I got home and I didn't have dinner, and so I woke up this morning. This is justification,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
I'm telling counselors.
Sounds very familiar.
Yeah, I felt does it.
Yeah,
does it? It's not my fault. It's not my fault. Right.
Yeah,
but I went to Chick-fil-A today and had a chicken biscuit.
Yeah,
and it was delicious.
I bet it was delicious.
It was delicious.
And in your own words, like, you just have from now on, so you can make some changes now. After
thank
that.
You, Pastor.
Hey, you're
Cole.
Welcome. Thank you.
Hey,
my time on the podcast is done.
Hey, welcome. That's your contribution.
That's it.
Right
that's
there?
All I need. Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah,
that's a McDonald's. Drink. It's not a coffee though.
It's not a coffee. I went with soda this morning.
Are y'all coffee people?
Yes.
Are you coffee snobs?
Yeah. No.
No.
Well,
I agree with you. If it's $1 coffee,
I'll
take
I'm
as
in.
Much coffee as I can for as little.
For as little
amount
as,
of money.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure.
No. I mean, it has to taste good.
Yeah. I can't drink coffee. It makes me poop.
Well,
yeah,
that's part of the goal.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's part of the goal.
Yeah.
That's what I like about it.
Right. That's why we drink it.
Right.
There are actually those things that they put coffee up inside of a person to.
Enemas.
What is it called?
Enema.
But
enema
is not coffee,
no,
is it?
It's another thing. Like you know, when you go to that place and sit in a chair and it's called
like an IV?
Yeah, but it's like a. Not what we're talking
digress.
About today.
I know,
yeah.
Right? That's what
no.
that
yeah,
that's
called.
That's
why
we're doing
it.
Here.
Yeah.
I think it's
colonic.
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 Okay, which is
which is like the worst Coca-Cola
that's
ever.
Yeah, disgusting.
Okay, anyway.
Okay.
We're back.
So,
yeah.
Hey, we invited you all here because we've been answering a lot of questions, and Ben and I have been teaching around like what this pandemic is like bringing up in people. And we've covered things like fear and anxiety. We talked about the walls closing and just feeling claustrophobic. We looked at parenting. I'm teaching on marriage as one example, but it's not, you know, specific to that. But how are you all doing in COVID-19 world? All right, Lisa, highlight and low light of the last 8 weeks?
Highlight and low light. I think the highlight has been the break, the time to get back and really, it really is a great opportunity to just kind of look at what the choices that I was making and the way that I was living and evaluate those, you know, what I want to go back to and what I don't, I can rearrange.
Yeah.
That's been the highlight. It really has. It's been literally a reset. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people are experiencing that. It's like a reset. And I know with God, there's no going back. There's right. only going forward.
Right.
So when I focus on that, because there's the low lights are what I've lost. You know, I really miss coming into the office and seeing, you know, the people that I work with and
most of them.
And yeah, most.
Yeah. Just trying to be honest.
Yeah, being honest. And yeah, the connection. That's been the low light. It has been not being able to connect with. Yeah, my grandson.
Yeah, you got a new
my
grandson.
Kids, yeah,
yeah.
And my daughter came over one day to bring me something. We stood in the driveway and cried because we couldn't hug. You know, it was just a horrible feeling. And I'm a total introvert. And so.
See, I wouldn't guess that.
Oh, really?
Because I am too, unless I'm in Pastor Jim mode.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I'm just going to go live in the mountains by myself. All right.
Yep,
yeah.
Yes.
So you're a total introvert.
Total introvert. So my life really hasn't changed that much. I wasn't having people coming over anyway. You know, and I don't have much of a social life. So I'm, you know, and I don't need to be around people. In fact, being around people drains me. So I have to take a break. So a lot of that hasn't changed. But what
kind of a weird career to get into.
Totally. Tell me about it. So, But what I found is that I do need to have healthy connections with people.
Right.
And I guess that's what I've always been shooting for. That's been the goal, is to build those healthy relationships. But I would have told you before this, I don't need them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
But I'm fishing for a story.
Oh, how are you okay, and Grant? Yeah,
I thought
okay,
the Lord okay. was Grant. How are you and Grant? Your husband
Grant
and getting
I,
along?
Well, we're doing great for the most part.
Except there's this one day.
There was one day where I just hit a wall, and we were just talking about something, and I looked at him, and I just got so irritated, and I felt like if I listened to him for one more minute, I'm going to punch him. I just got enraged by him, by the house, you know?
His presence.
Yeah, we weren't even arguing. It was just, he just rubbed me wrong. And then I just walked away. I got in my car. I just started driving. I drove all the way to Cheyenne.
Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Yes.
Because there was a great scenic thing to go see?
No, I didn't even, I was raging the whole time in my mind. Just, you know, I didn't pack because I'm not going back. So I hit welcome to Wyoming, and it's like, okay, I can go home. So I drove home, and then I started, you know, I love him.
Yeah.
I love him. So I can go home, and I walk in the house. Yeah. He said, where'd you go? And I said, I had to leave because I just couldn't listen to you one more second. He just goes, sure. You know, so apparently he'd been there too.
Yeah.
If you had told me that we were going to be in the house together for 3 months, and I would have said, that's not going to work. We've done really well, though, for the most part.
So marriage tip number one, drive to Wyoming.
Oh, yeah. That's not the first time I've done that, actually.
You knew the way.
Yeah, get in the car. Keep your mouth shut and remove yourself. Yeah.
Trey, how about you? What's this been like for you? Highlight you and your family, low light, what? What's been good? What's been hard?
Yeah. You know, I've loved just the extra time at home to do all like the honey-do list stuff to the point where I've gotten so much of it done. Like, I'm creating my own honey-do lists.
I have a list. Come on over.
Yeah, okay. I actually would. I think oftentimes I enjoy it if it's outside. If it's indoors, I'm terrible at it, and I just get angry and drive to Wyoming. But it's to the point where I'll be like sitting around just like looking at my house saying, like, what could I do? What things can I like mess with here to try to make it look better or do something with? But I miss all the connection, right? I miss shift. I miss being at church. I miss our small group, all of those things. But to be honest with you, I desperately miss the NBA playoffs.
Me
and,
too.
And March Madness,
yes.
And like
all of it.
The thought of not having college football in the fall, it just makes me want to cry. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's not a real deep answer, but man, I do miss the sports.
I did declare Kentucky the NCAA winner this year.
Oh, did you?
No, false champion.
Villain nation, whatever.
Right? Nomination, yeah.
What's your college team?
Iowa State.
Oh, Cyclones.
Cyclones. Yeah, thank you. Some people say the Hawks, and
So we used to go to Ames every year for Visha. We won't talk about that on the podcast.
Good. It's good, though.
Because nobody cares about Iowa, y'all.
No. If you went to Visha, you would care. It was absurd. We won't talk about it.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'll lose my job.
Is it like a Burning Man thing?
Close. Yeah.
Cars are being flipped.
There's
Iowa people at their worst. And
you're drinking Bush Light. Yeah. I mean, it's bad.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah. It got canceled for a few years.
It did. Yeah.
It got so out of hand. That's probably you. Did you flip the car that got canceled?
The last year that we were there was the last year that they had it. After that, there was a huge riot. And
it's Cole's fault.
It actually might be. I'll tell that story afterwards.
Yeah.
Continue.
All right. Let's get into this. All right. So this past week or this weekend, I'm teaching on kind of this premise, and that is crisis doesn't build character. That's what he says, make you stronger. Mm-hmm. Crisis reveals character, meaning when things get really, really tough, everything that's inside is pretty much exposed. Mm-hmm. And when that comes bubbling out, sometimes it doesn't always come bubbling out the way we had hoped or planned. And so you all, you're in the ministry, the field of, okay, it came out the wrong way, or I'm dealing with something and it's broken and I want to get back to something better. What are you all seeing in families and individuals, in marriages and addictions, whatever that is? What seems to be the triggers or the coping mechanisms? What's happening out there? Because I think a lot of us are sitting at home in isolation going, yeah, I feel like that. I feel like that. But am I the only one? Mm-hmm. What are you seeing?
Yeah. You know, I think one of the things I hear a lot of people is like, well, my family is annoying. or my spouse, my husband and wife, they're just annoying. And it's like, well, yeah, people are annoying. Like, of course they are, but it's what do you do with it? So when you get annoyed, can you like just love them through that? Or do you want to try to hurt them or make them feel stupid for being annoying? So, you know, you spoke on this before, like with that anger that we start to feel bubbling up, mm-hmm. do we use that to try to hurt them back? Mm-hmm. Even if they haven't hurt us, they're just simply getting on your nerves. Can you have grace for that and move through it? Or are you actually trying to, I want to make you feel stupid, or I want to make you feel bad for being that way because you rubbed me the wrong way, or whatever that is.
Mm-hmm. But that little annoying thing, it's always been there.
Yeah.
But when you're trapped together, mm-hmm. now it's nails on a chalkboard. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I love them. I just want to drive to Wyoming, right? Or whatever it is. It's like, when I was in counseling, I still am, but one of the best counselings I ever got was, don't go with your first edit. Mm-hmm. You know, because you can't get it back, and it's not the one you want to live with, right? So in those annoying times, you can tell me, all right, are you being patient? Do you have grace? It's like, what? Give us some, like, when she or he or they, it could be your kids, mm-hmm. it could be your parents, right? When they are on my last nerve and I just want to give them my first edit, give me some coping mechanisms or give me some, all right, take a breath and what?
Mm-hmm. Well, and I do think that removing yourself, either going to another room or, you know, giving yourself space to not, if you stay in that place of irritation and being annoyed, I mean, it's a pressure cooker, right? Mm-hmm. And you're asking too much of yourself to try and tamp that down. So take a break, step back, remove yourself from that situation. Just give some space to it. I think what we're seeing a lot too is that, I mean, people are under stress now.
Yeah.
So it's not just we're all home together. We're all home and we're stressed. We're, you know, and we're not dealing with the stress maybe in the best way, you know, being irritable with each other and things like that. I think, you know, with three of my daughters being in a healthcare field, there's viral load, you know, the more prolonged and repeated exposure to the virus increases the severity of it. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, we're being repeated and prolonged exposure to virulent behaviors, you know, like anxiety and fear and all of that. Stress is its own problem. But like you're saying, stress doesn't cause problems. It reveals problems in relationships.
Right.
You know, the way that you deal with it, you can identify poor coping skills and anger issues and insecurity and all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what we're seeing is being revealed, that people are not coping well. And it's an opportunity to identify where you need to learn how to cope better with things. But it's tough to do it, you know, when you're in the house with somebody and that's being triggered all the time, makes sense?
Absolutely.
A tip I'll give to people too, when they're they need to talk something out and they, you know, they've removed themselves and need to come back to the table, or it's in the moment and they can't get out or whatever that is, I'll make couples count to 30 before they respond, just to slow down the conversation, because then you really can think through, okay, what do I want to say and what should I say?
Yeah.
And in 30 seconds, usually if you can sit with it for that long, you can respond better. And sometimes it's even helpful when you're not looking face to face, but like you're laying in bed looking at the ceiling, or you're in the car together driving. Because then you're a little more comfortable with that silence for the 10, 20, 30 seconds. So you're just, I can't respond right away.
Probably go, wake up.
Oh, yeah, kill me. We have fighting rules at home. So it's like, we don't leave the house. I want to fight in the moment. Like the second it happens, it's like, let's fight and get done with it. Because I hate walking around on eggshells. For Taylor, she has to, like, I need 3 days before I say something stupid, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it's like, we have rules. It's like, you don't get to leave the house, but you get to go to a different part of the house. And I can't go and like bug her, like, no, we're fighting. Like, we're going to get this done with. So it's like, we're putting that space in place with the rules of also, like, you also don't get to run away.
Yeah.
And it's helpful.
It's so interesting to me how there's always in a marriage, there's always one pursuer and one withdrawer. Mm-hmm. You know, that's their way of dealing with very rarely. Mm-hmm. And it's combustible when I see it. Yeah. Do you have two pursuers or, you know, two withdrawals? But that's people, the way people deal with conflict. So it's really good to know what your conflict style is so that you can make those adjustments.
Yeah. And without those rules, I mean, there was times where it was like, when we first got married, we hadn't sat down and had that conversation. It's like, we'd either have huge blow ups where Taylor would say something. I'm like,
right.
there's no going back from that. Or there's times where it's like she would leave and I'm like, I don't even know where she went to. And now it like made the fight even worse.
Right.
So it's like for us to figure out like, no, we have these rules in place and we agree to them. It's not like me. Yeah. I came in and was like, here's the rules. It's like we had to come up with them together.
Yeah.
But it's helped from like instead of having these huge blow ups that were really just really small things.
Yeah.
We gave it the time and the space that it needed.
Yeah.
With an agreed upon fight rule, you know.
Yeah, I think that's really healthy too for couples to do that when they're not fighting, you know, to set those rules and to have a conversation about what do I need when you and I are not on the same page.
Yeah, yeah, with Robin and I, it's like we have rules like, hey, you don't walk out, okay?
Yeah.
But we've modified it in saying, I'm not walking out, I'm taking a walk.
Yes.
All right? Yeah. So you kind of make the assurance out there going, hey, I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah.
I just need to catch a breath because I'm infamous for saying the wrong thing.
Right.
And so I'm just going to take a breath. And then the assurance is I'm not giving up on this. You know, I'm not throwing the card on the table or anything.
Right.
So let's go with that. So I know you can't, I don't want you to reveal anything that you're dealing out specifically, but I guess like overall, like what are some behaviors that you're seeing in people? And then what's working going instead, how about do this? When that happens, okay, so so you deal with a lot of people with addictions, right? And their triggers are all being pulled, and they can't go to meetings necessarily. I know, and you can be on a computer, but again, that's not face to face, right? So they've lost a lot of support. So whatever that is, what are you seeing out there that it's like you're gonna say here's a behavior I'm seeing, and a bunch of people are gonna go, yep, we do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then what maybe are you saying, hey, this next time. And it's a matter of time. Maybe try this instead. So instead of yelling, take a breath, take a drive, take a walk. Okay.
Yeah.
What else is out there? And this could be like my kids, you know, I want to give them back, you know, or whatever that is. It was like, what are you seeing out there in the big areas that you're dealing with?
Well, I think I'm here. A lot of frustration with, you know, people with their partners. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that, you know, there's a lot of talk about setting boundaries and everything. I think a lot of people miss the point that the boundaries that we set are for us. They're not, you can't set a boundary for another person.
Okay.
Like, you know, one of my boundaries is I don't talk to intoxicated people. I just won't talk to them. You can get intoxicated. I can't tell you not to. But if you do, I'm not going to talk to you until you're sober, right? So that's, I hear people saying, you know, they're complaining about the way he talks to me or the way she behaves. Like, well, you can't set boundaries for her behavior. What you can do is say, if you do this, this is what I'm going to do in response.
Kind of make an agreement.
Yeah.
Ahead of time.
With yourself. Yeah, yeah, with them. And you communicate
let them know
with
what,
them.
Hey,
yeah, you do that. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So I, you know, my big concern through all of this has been people who have really dysfunctional emotionally or even physically abusive homes, and where are they going? They're trapped together. And, and a lot, you know, the people who are being abused and feeling like they want that abuse to stop, but you can't control that. You can only contract. How do you respond if it does happen?
Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna pause right there. We're going to take a break right now, and we're going to pick this up on the next podcast, because I want to keep this conversation about boundaries and controlling other people, and then that self-control, because self-control is something that comes up in here, it seems like, a lot. So we'll be back in the next podcast. See you very soon.